is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hello, everybody. I believe that the children are our future.
Oh, and interesting.
I love Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
I never thought of it that way.
That's really good. Now that you've said it, I'm Panda, and I too believe that the children are our future. I didn't think about it before. I thought that they weren't, but you've convinced me. And I like when Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
This is throwing me for a loop, guys, because I've always thought chicken wings were our future.
Yeah.
Like, always.
Yeah.
Hot wings are our future. Like, and I feel like I should stand by that, but gosh, maybe kids are the future.
Hot wings are harder to find now.
They are. Children are our future, and I'm Dan. I despise Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
See, there's a chicken wing shortage, but there's not a kid shortage that I know of. So,
yeah.
By those numbers alone,
kids are our future.
Kids are our future. But it's close. Absolutely. It's close.
Closer than I wanted to admit.
Let's not talk too badly about chicken wings before we get, you know, do you know I have not had in a while?
The only thing going
wings
against
on the run.
Yeah, gosh, I love it.
Man.
The only thing that's going against it is the fact that there's a chicken wing shortage. Without that shortage, of course, chicken wings are our future.
Have you guys heard the chicken wing song? Chicken wing beat? Goes
chicken wing,
hot dog and bologna, chicken and macaroni, chilling with my homies. Chicken wing, hot dog and bologna, dog and macaroni, chilling with my homies.
Macaroni.
Song's a bop.
Who's it by?
I don't remember.
Well, shout out to that person. Good. Getting a huge payday when all of our listeners go and check out that song. That's for sure.
Hold on. I'll pull it up.
Seriously, though, if you're in Greenville, Wings on the Run. not a paid sponsor.
Oh, Ricky Desktop.
Ricky Desktop?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Ricky Desktop.
You stopped with desk.
Ricky Desktop.
Top.
Chicken fried Zach Brown Bam? When'd you look that up?
Oh, no, I just typed in chicken.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I thought it was your relative searches. I was like, all right.
Yeah, the chicken wing beat.
The chicken wing beat.
So I don't know if you guys remember this, but earlier this week we did our show prep.
Yes. Yep.
And we talked about how on Thursday's show, we're going to let Panda do it.
Yep.
And on Friday's show, we're going to let Dan do the intro.
Yep.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember this.
But you.
Yeah.
So do you have something?
And I've been trying to get Stage Call onto the program for a while.
Yes,
it's Stage Call. We all do our best Stage Call where we introduce someone coming to the stage.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit that's worth doing. Stage Call.
I do think that both of you have misunderstood what we do at the beginning of the show. But intro.
I have been every day, every time we do show prep, I come in and I say today, the opening bit, Stage Call. And Panda sometimes is with me, and you still overrule us like you rule with some iron fist around
here.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and so
my vote. I don't want to get into it. My vote does count.
It
for
does.
Two.
It shouldn't.
Well, I'm meeting for two.
I want to do Stage Call. That's what I want to do. Can we do Stage Call?
Let's do a Stage Call.
Yes, we can.
Can you go first, Brand?
It's time for Stage Call.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Now, coming to the stage is Lefty Lucy.
That's really good.
Yeah, that is really good.
See? Aren't you glad we did this?
I am glad we did this.
That's right.
Panda?
Hey, everybody. Why don't you go ahead and welcome to the stage our friend Lefty Lucy and his buddy, righty tighty.
I mean, that was okay. It's okay. You think Lefty Lucy is a man?
I don't know.
All right,
Lucy.
Lefty Lucy. Lucy, the righty tighty.
Righty tighty. Righty tighty. I don't know.
His buddy, righty tighty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Can I go?
Yeah.
Danny, go ahead.
And now. Starting for one night only in the stage right in front of you.
You know him. You love him. From North Carolina, Lefty Lucy. See, I've been working on it for a while.
Really good.
That was really good. Are you guys ready to dive in?
No.
Sorry.
You said I got to do the opening segment of this show.
Yeah. What else did he have?
I wanted to do stage call.
Yeah.
And then Rig has been in my ear for a while. For a long time.
Does Rig want to do stage call?
No. He has a segment called Butts Out. Now. Yep. Now. And from
what, right.
From what I understand, he believes. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
He believes that there should be designated areas in any establishment where you should be able to put your cigarette butt out. Now, I have explained to him.
I'm sorry. Say it once more.
Listen, I'll just take it from here. Yeah. We all smoke cigarettes, right? No, we do
no,
not.
No, we do Rick. Not.
Yes, you do. Don't lie to yourself. There should be in every establishment a circle, and it just says in big letters, butts out. And you, what you do is you, when you finish with your ciggy, you just put the butt in there, the ciggy butt. And you're done.
How's that different than an ashtray?
No, ashtrays are lame. This sounds like those at every table. You can't smoke inside.
Right.
But if you have a if you have a butts out circle, then in case someone is smoking inside and shouldn't be, they can put the butts out in there.
Can I just ask you this though? Yeah. Like from a just a what is the, like I'm not again, I'm not trying to I'm bring still, up yeah. I'm not trying to bring up ashtrays. No, I know they're old school. But what is the primary difference between an ashtray and a butts out circle?
I don't think you're listening. The butts out circle is where you put your cigarette butts out. That's why it's called butts out.
Right, but isn't that what you do with an ashtray?
I've been trying to get this off the ground for a while. You don't have to do any ashtrays. You don't have to buy any of the metal. You just draw a circle with some chalk or something.
Okay.
And you just put butts out.
So you're having people put out their cigarette butts.
And you just say butts out.
On the table.
Point.
And you just
right in
into
there.
The fabric yes. of the table.
Butts so out. Is everyone smoking on in the establishment?
It
so
would
saying,
help us secret smokers to know where to put our butts out.
Why don't you just do it outside?
Well, like where everyone would the butts else? Out circle be?
You wouldn't need it well, at see, that point.
So you're saying the butts out has to be inside?
Yeah, at every establishment.
But you're not allowed
if
to
you can make it. You can use a crayon. You can use a Sharpie if you want to keep the same spot. But it's butts out.
So you mean to tell me that you think that restaurant owners would rather
yes.
have people damaging their tables?
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, but it's a quality like tabletop bar. Your butts out stand's going to be just fine.
Huh.
I think you're overthinking the idea.
I think you're overthinking the idea because ashtrays exist.
And it just says butts out. And people will understand.
Right, but they'll understand ashtrays too, Rig.
No, those are illegal now inside.
I understand.
You can't but smoke just because, inside.
But why are you smoking?
Why are you starting this?
If I do, then I have a butts out circle.
Well, if you
but
do,
if you do,
you just draw it.
It's the same as an ass. Okay, if you are a restaurant owner, if you're
I've
a restaurant,
with a conversation.
This is a whole nother, this is 4 for 2 all over again. If you're a restaurant owner and you're like concerned about people doing a secret smoke and you want to have them have a place, why not just use an ashtray?
Well, put it in a secret spot where there's like a code word or something that where you got to go for your butts
this
out.
This is different. You're pivoting.
No, butts out. That's my idea. And this is why, Brand and Show Prep, you don't do this. You don't give us the floor. We got the wave from Panda. We got butts out over here from Rick.
I stand by my
to be fair, wave. When I heard butts out, I thought it was going to be way worse than that.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. fair. No, so, that's was, fair. That's yeah. fair. Man, I feel so bad for the Science Field Delivered fans, the postables.
Yeah.
That come on in once a week, ready
butts
to play
out was probably
ball.
Offensive to them.
Let's talk about One Calls to Heart, season 1, episode 6. It's The Future Me. It originally aired on May 25th, 2014.
The comments in the chat are wonderful.
Oh yeah, are they with it?
Secret smokers opened for butts out. Somebody said that. Somebody said it's cheaper to draw it. I'm with Rick.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica. Hey, go ahead.
Sorry, The Future Me originally aired on May 25th, 2014, and it went a little
knock,
something.
Knock. Knock, knock, Brandy.
Who's there?
Big fella.
Big fella.
Big fella Rippy.
Hey, Rippy, how you doing,
buddy? I'm eating some ribs. Loving my life. Eat some ribs. I call dibs on all the ribs. You can't have none. They're all for me.
Now, Rippy.
Today's ribs are brought to you by Denny's. Did you know they had ribs?
No.
I bet you didn't. You got to do the secret knock at the door. I know it.
What's the knock?
I'm not telling you. The ribs are for me.
Are they good?
Yeah, they are. You know what I need, though?
What?
A nap.
No. We're not doing this week. You want to know what happened to me last week after this show? I went into my closet and I checked every pocket because you left me with the understanding, Rippy, that every article of clothing comes with a pre-installed wet nap. Nary a single article of clothing in my closet had a wet nap.
You've been buying your clothes at the bargain bin.
Yeah, but that's
You've been buying them at Oslo's down there around the corner.
Oslo's,
you've been buying them. Great.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know what? You want to happen to me, Brent? Thanks for asking.
What?
I went outside. I curled up in the fetal position. I cried myself to sleep with sticky hands because you didn't have a nap for me.
But you're the one bringing the ribs, Rippy.
That's part of me buying 2014. You said you would fuck me a nap.
No one told me that. There.
You look at the contract.
Okay, I'll look at the contract. I will bring a wet nap next week.
Me a nap.
I currently do not have a wet nap.
Can you float a brother a nap?
I don't have one.
Can you spare a square of a nap?
Right,
a quarter of a nap.
Here you go. You ready?
I'm ready. You threw nothing.
It's a podcast. Can you just roll with it?
You threw nothing. Under that soundboard, there's some nap.
There's not any nap. There's not.
Made you look.
I don't want a little something like this.
Read your synopsis. I'll lick my fingers. Don't worry.
There's two people that are buying some furniture from a guy.
He's had honey on him.
The Denny's wings have honey on them, folks.
You said wings, not ribs.
Sorry. Got wings on the mind. Money on the wings. So there's two people that are buying some furniture from a guy that most definitely rides a motorcycle. They can't fully open a drawer, so the motorcycle guy, again, I'm just assuming, reaches back behind the drawer and feels something that's jamming it on the track, pulls it out. It's an old letter. So when a very hit postal worker that wears shorts and is having a good time comes on by, he hands it to her and she's like, I know exactly what to do with this. Her name is Kimmy, and she walks in and hands the letter to Rita. Apparently, Kimmy is also signing up for the pageant. You know the one. What was it called? Little Miss Postal Worker.
You did say Wind Calls the Heart, not Sign Sealed
Delivery. Did I really?
Yeah,
gosh, I'm sorry. So. The Miss Special Delivery Pageant is what we got going on there. She's also competing in it, and she kind of wanted to see what Rita's all about because Rita's signed up. Size up the competition, if you will. Shane sends her on her way. You're not welcomed here. Oliver walks in and, fills the group in that his wife is staying in Paris longer than he thought. He seems okay, but Rita and Norman know that he's a mess because his tie is different. So they open the letter and Oliver gives the assignment to Norman, who's able to track down where the desk came from, a high school in the area. Turns out that's where it's from. We meet a new boss. The new boss. And her daughter is also going to compete in the pageant. And the boss tells Rita that she better back off. So, message delivered. Oliver and Shane, there's awkward tension just oozing out of them, go to find the person who wrote the letter. They go to the flower shop, and it's owned by a guy named Bobby. Bobby has Down syndrome. The letter was written to Miss Bobby from Ellie. They're all very confused, but Bobby's like, let me just get Ellie out here. Ellie's there. Ellie wrote, she also has Down syndrome, and there was an assignment in school where she was to write a letter to her future self. And she's been in love with Bobby since high school. And she explains that the letter was to write a letter to the future self, and she thought that she would be married to Bobby by now. She's not, and the letter kind of inspires her to finally muster up the courage to talk to her parents about it, to get married. So she asks Shannon Oliver, will you take me home so I can talk to my parents? And Ellie tells her parents that she wants to get married, and her dad says no and sends her inside. And Oliver and Shane go on their way. Shane helps Rita get ready for the pageant, complete with a makeover and a potential HR complaint, as Oliver and Norma just stare her up and down for what seems like an hour. She's ready. Suddenly, Ellie's dad walks in and says that Ellie is gone, and he thinks that they went to elope. And so Norman and Rita go to see if there was a marriage certificate applied for or whatever it was. And so the dad takes Shane and Oliver up to the place that they got married, thinking that the story that they told all these years inspired her to go up there. Nowhere to be found. But, you know, Oliver and Shane do what they do and give some unsolicited advice to a father. And they head back in. They find Bobby and Ellie there, and they're like, we wanted to wait for you because we want to get married and we want you to be there. The dad once again doubles down on no. And that is when Oliver once again just does what Oliver does. And he's like, I think you're really blowing it, Dad. He does it better than that, but you guys get the gist.
Pretty much.
And so they end up doing the wedding, and it's wonderful. The dad shows up. It's beautiful. And at the reception, they're dancing. And you want to know who else is dancing? Oliver and Shane. Mm-hmm. Oliver says,
the Twitterverse calls him Shaloliver.
Ooh, Shaloliver.
Well, we'll leave that to them. So they're dancing. Oliver says, we never did do that dance. They dance, and boy, is it happening. They get back to the post office in time for the pageant, and Rita doesn't show up as sexy Rita. She shows up as just standard old Rita, and Norman likes that. Mm. She's going to be herself. She's going to skate to do the competitions. She's going to do her little talent where she recites the code. But then when they ask her about, you know, how they're going to fix the post office or whatever, she gives a very inspirational speech, and Norman's back there standing up very excited, and I don't know for sure that she wins, but I think we can all guess that she wins, and we're all cheering him on, and that, my friends, was signed, sealed, delivered, the future me. That's exactly right, everybody. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back, and we'll break this episode down with four segments here on Deck the Hallmark. So they went with Shaloliver.
Shaloliver is what they went with.
I guess he can't go with.
And then the O is capitalized. So it's S, little H, big O, L-I-V.
What is a postable?
That's okay. It's a Postmates. I believe something with a delivery system, I believe. I'm not sure, though.
Works every day.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
Postable.
Yeah. They're post-able.
They're post. They're, we are able to post. To post.
I like that.
That's like good. That. That's really good.
The key to the postables is they capitalize the P and the O because it stands for post office.
Oh, that's clever.
Man, listen, the postables.
Well thought out.
No one thinks about capital letters more than the postables. That's I appreciate
true.
That.
Yeah, that's yep. true.
Shaloliver. I guess you can't go with, you know, O'Hane.
Yeah, O'Hane would be real bad.
Yeah. Yep. O'Hane.
O'Hane. It's better now that I'm starting to think about it.
O'Hane. Let's do this. Let's talk about this episode. Let's do it the hot take, where we share exactly how we felt about this episode of television. Let's start with you, Panda. Panda, hot take.
Yeah. So, listen, guys. I gotta be honest with you. This episode did not do it for me. I don't think it was their best effort. And maybe it was after last week where we had just such a dynamic episode with a lot of just really incredible moments. This episode just didn't do it for me. I wasn't into the story particularly. I feel like this is, I mean, Oliver and Shane consistently overstep their bounds in the show, which is fine. This one seems peculiarly extravagantly overstepping into the life of a dad and mom who are trying to, you know, parent in an incredibly difficult situation. And so that didn't do it for me. The Norman and Rita stuff was okay, I guess. But Shane and Oliver didn't really have a lot of dynamic scenes together, which I think the show, we've already kind of established, hinges on those moments. And so what it amounted to was, in some sense, kind of a throwaway episode. I think that this is their worst episode so far. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm not saying it's a bad episode intrinsically. I just, compared to what else we've had so far, this is not good in comparison. So, yeah, that's where I'll leave it at.
I do understand what you're saying. I do think the story, I don't know, the one with the Ullerup.
Grayson Holden, Amelia Ullerup's the worst.
That story was worse. And the characters in this one are more likable than that one. But it did seem as if the story was much more on the back burner than maybe in prior weeks. Like, I don't even think we get to the story, like, to those people until, like the people that we're going to spend the rest of the episode with until, like, 15 minutes into the episode or something like that. So it took a little while to get there. But I'll say this, if all of that was to get to a wedding where Oliver and Shane dance again, it was all worth it, darn it. That was just great. And you know what? The Norman Rita stuff worked for me this week. The him being just so, like, it just worked. When she was getting ready to go on stage and she was nervous and he gave her the speech about the shell that can't be broken on that one thing, on the one little bug, and then she was able to do, like, work that into her speech, and he was back there so proud of her. All of that worked very, very much for me. So not as strong as the last couple weeks, but still, I had a wonderful time watching this television program, and I'm ready for more. Dan?
It's the fewest wait what's that I've had in an episode. Mm-hmm. But yep. It also is the fewest cares that I've given, for sure. The worst letter is Grayson Holt.
I disagree with you.
Amelia Ullerup. I think that one's terrible. He's been building a house for 20 years, even though he didn't bother to make sure his letter was sent. That's inexcusable. Shane and Oliver go over their boundaries in literally every episode, in my opinion. That is the thing that I've given and suspended my disbelief with. It just doesn't make the episode good. It just, there's a lot of time spent on the missed postal service, whatever, and that's awful. That doesn't work for me. The, you know, there's something about this plot line that feels like that inspiration inoculation, you know, like that stuff that's just designed to make you feel better about yourself. It didn't really do anything for me, and it just kind of felt saccharine and not great to me. The Shane and Oliver stuff was just too little too late, in my opinion.
Yep.
Not good television, unfortunately, coming off two episodes that I think are just dynamite for Hallmark standards, you know, best thing I've seen on Hallmark. But just for TV standards in 2014, I would say good TV. So, yeah, disappointing for sure. And the good news is I do think the movies are going to be solid, yeah, and I think we're going to get character development across the board. But, you know, I saved this to watch last because I'm now, until this one, I felt like the show was building momentum, and I was kind of like, man, this is something that I look forward to, and it won't be tough to, like, pay attention and lock in, but this one didn't do it. This one didn't do it, and that's fine. I mean, good television shows have bad episodes. This was, it was not good.
I think it's also the one episode where, like, the advice from Oliver just didn't land.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, it's like, no, not your place, man. Like, first of all, in this specific situation, you have known her, the girl, Ellie, for a day. Like, that family has been parenting her and walking alongside her journey, yep, since birth. So, yep, while I think there obviously is a place and time to have a conversation with a father about that, the prescription that he gives her, knowing her for one day, felt very heavy-handed, yep, and, like, just not your place to do that.
Yep.
Like, that is a place of a good friend, like, talking to his buddy, being like, hey, man, like, maybe it's time to loosen the reins a little bit. Like, that's that conversation, not Oliver going in with, you know, half a day with Ellie being like, I think she's ready, guys. Like, she's not, buddy. Yeah. Let's do all the feels. Panda, what you feeling?
The biggest feel, obviously, is the dance at the end is really solid. I think Norman getting nervous around Rita's pretty cute as well. And then that's it. That's what I got.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I, yeah, Norman doing the thing at the end worked for me. And obviously, anytime they dance, I think it's going to give me feels. But it was the first time that the Norman-Rita storyline gave me any sort of feels. Yep. So good, it was on good for them.
Didn't really have any feels. Just didn't have any. Didn't really do much for me all episode. I mean, them dancing at the end was fine, I guess. This thing didn't work for me. And the Norman-Rita stuff didn't work for me at all. I would be wholeheartedly disagreeing with you on that. I think he gets some fun comedic stuff to do, and I'm starting to like him, I guess, but like those two characters, it just feels like, man, they could be much better sidekicks and fun characters if we weren't worried about shipping them so hard. And it I don't know.
What's their name? Is it Rorman?
Is it Nita? No, Rita.
Is it Nita?
Narita?
Narita.
Mm.
I'll take a couple bags of the nacho cheese Naritas.
Naritas. I see what you did there. Nicely done.
Thank you.
It's definitely not Friday. We definitely haven't been doing this all evening.
Hey, let's be right back. Good stuff. Let's be right back. I like it. Two bags of Naritas coming right up here at Dyke Dollar. Someone asked if we realized that Kimmy was Faith.
Yes.
For One Girl's Heart. Of course we did.
Yeah.
Love her. Andrea Brooks, is that her name?
She's great.
It's a delight.
I just wrote on my notes, hey, Kimmy.
Hey, Kimmy. There it is, guys. It's happening.
Closing up the tabs.
The tabs are closing tabs. Don't want my phone to burn, so I'll close the tabs during recording. I know how to close all my tabs. let's do this, boys. Wait, what?
Okay. Any,
some? What?
Yeah.
Panda, what you got?
The only one I have is, I just have a question about this Miss Post Office or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
They say that Kimmy goes around from location to location trying to win this award.
Classic.
My question is, why?
Yeah. Or how?
Or how? Like,
or just what?
What? Like, I'm. Is there money that's attached? Why would you devote? This isn't a livable, sustainable. No. What?
It makes you like. That's the first thing that I've seen in this, and I'm like, are they trying to make the post office look bad? Like, it is just a bad look.
Yeah. I just. What?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I have no clue.
The post office comes off real bad in this episode.
Yes.
It doesn't look
good. Between that and then the new boss being clearly just awful. Like, there's a lot that the post office doesn't.
Was not good.
But I don't know if you know this or not, but they're not necessarily affiliated with the post. They do this whole thing at the end of the episode. Listen, we're not who we think say we are.
let off the hook.
Do you have any more, Panda?
No, that was it.
Wow.
So I want to get, listen, I don't want to be, I would never want to overanalyze something, but I am not convinced that the way that Rita sorts the mail is any faster than how the other girls were sorting the mail. Can you guys back me up on this one? What Rita does, she's on her skates, which are unnecessary in this specific situation.
Absolutely.
And she basically just sorts it all there.
Yeah. Well, she's getting
it all in order.
It's really her memory that
so is. So she's memorizing.
That's right.
She's memorizing. She's memorizing. And so she's looking at everything, and they are already. And
these doofuses are going one at a time.
Yeah. But if the other girl had just brought the package with her, she would have won.
Yeah.
Because the girl gets back there and she realizes that she already took her package, so that she's like, oh, I guess I can't do that. I guess I can't win. But the only reason why she didn't win is because she had to go back for the package. Rita put it all in her hands.
That's right.
She was still putting stuff in the mailboxes.
The roller skates do nothing here.
The roller skates do nothing. I'm not convinced that she would have won. Well,
is that a googly eye?
It is a googly eye.
Why do you have a googly eye on your Skechers?
Because I'm a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Googly eyes.
You're such a
googly
dad.
Eyes happen.
So that was my biggest thing is I'm just not convinced. I'm not convinced yet. I have to see more game film, break it down a little bit more.
Break it down.
Because it's just
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Dan.
Kimmy's video of playing the tuba, the title of that video is Tuba Anyone with no Tuba Anyone with no like question mark.
Really? There's no question
not
mark?
Tuba Anyone? It just says Tuba Anyone.
I love it.
There's no question
There's
mark.
No question mark.
Are you positive?
I'm positive. It just says Tuba Anyone.
Tuba Anyone.
That's it.
Tuba Anyone?
Nope. No,
nope. That was a question mark.
No, no, no.
That was a question
Sorry,
mark, Ralph.
Carl, try again.
Tuba Anyone.
Yeah.
That still felt questionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tuba Anyone.
Yeah. It is
Carl,
not. Yeah.
Carl does Carl, not get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then next, guys, the school system goes through desks like crazy. I mean, we work at a private school, and there are broken desks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For this guy in an antique store to know all of the information about this desk that was only 7 years old.
Yep.
Well, no, but they got it because of the only reason they were able to really figure it out is because of the markings.
But he has all, when he's walking to the desk, he gives all this information about like the district it's from and everything. Kick rocks. That is not happening. There's no world where that's happening.
This school was very like, they had a lot of really
there just been just next level
above and beyond.
And then I believe Norman is reading a book called Misspelled Words of the English Language. Yes, and I just have questions about the structure of that particular book.
That's fascinating.
Are the words spelled correctly? And then it shows you all the misspellings.
Well, I love that bit though. That he has these obscure random books that I just love that.
Tuba Anyone.
Tuba Anyone.
Tuba Anyone. Tuba Anyone.
Still felt question, Carl.
Oh, no.
All right, Carl.
Thank you.
Is that it, Dan?
That's it, man.
Love it, buddy. Love it. let's get to what people have been calling the internet the most important part of every week, which is the post office worker of the week. Mm-hmm. Postal worker of the week, if you will. Yeah. Dan, go ahead.
I got an email. And the entire email is the subject line. It just says Brick Stance in all caps. That's it. But the email address is postal worker of the week at postalserveroftheweek.com. And then it's sent to us, and it's nothing in the body of the email. And in the subject line, it's just all caps, Brick Stance.
Stanson.
That's all it says.
Stanson. Well, Panda, was that enough to go on?
Yeah, that was more than enough, actually.
thought it might be.
More than enough,
more
huh?
than enough. His
so tell us what happened. When you went into your Google Plus and you took in, put in Brick Stanson,
it was overwhelming, the amount of information. His real name's Jeff Stanson.
Right.
But they call him Brick for a reason.
I hope so.
And here's the deal.
They call him Brick for no reason.
Every day, he just loads up the back of the mail carrier truck with just bricks.
Why does he do that?
Well, I asked the same question. And so here's the earliest thing I can see. This is dating back about 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that he likes the way the car handles better when it's loaded really heavy.
But don't they
bricks.
Need to have parcels in the truck to take to places?
Yeah. What's the brick to partial ratio?
Swing and a miss. The old brick to partial ratio is what you said. You did it, friend.
What's the brick to partial?
Nope,
you did.
Fun sucker. What's the brick to parcel ratio?
Oh yeah, good job. Yeah, you did it. From what I'm seeing on the webs, it's a 5-to-1.
Five bricks to one parcel?
Yeah.
How has he not been fired? What's his postal number again?
728934.
Got it.
Where's he from? Where's he out of?
Nipson.
Nipson. No. So I understand that you actually got a hold
there.
Of Brick.
No.
Yeah, they would. I understand that you got Bricks on the line this week and you interviewed him.
Yep.
And we have a piece of that clip?
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Just cue that up.
Now, Bricks, I'm seeing here that it's a 5-to-1 ratio. This doesn't seem like it's very conducive for delivering mail.
I want to be clear there. It's a partial ratio. So you're confused.
Okay.
You think it's bricks to parcels, and it's not. That's partials.
Oh, okay.
And those are partial parcels. That's what those are. They're parcels that I've cut up into thirds, fourths, sometimes fifths. And you know, so they're partials. So it's brick to partials.
Are you?
So it's actually fewer parcels than you would think.
Are you cutting up people's mail?
You don't need to know the details. You just need to know that I am the law.
No. And we had to cut the interview right there. Yeah. But
The fact that Brick Stanson still has a job shows you how legendary.
Can I just say this? Also the law. I don't know. I
hate to say I told you so.
Yeah.
You guys all jumped on me. I wouldn't get it.
Turns out
I will
right.
say, I believe if my research is correct, he doesn't actually cut stuff up. It's all in his head.
But then he never explains what a ratio is. Yeah. We never got that
ratio.
Info.
No, I got a quick dubstep.
It's me. I'm on the line here.
We'll be back next week. Until then,
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.